Love. What kind of love?
Have you immer mich lieben, von ihm werd ich nun immer geschieden. Er gab sein Leben, kaufte mich los, darum gehör ich ihm.
I am his.
Darum gehör ich Jesus.
I belong to Jesus. I would like to greet all of you very warmly in the precious name of our Lord. It is God's grace that we can proclaim the word of the Lord. And if it cannot be today in the White Building in Zurich, it comes still to fulfillment where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And also what is written right in the at the beginning in the book of Acts, and they gathered here and there in the houses according to Romans chapter 13, we have the obligation to submit under the higher powers, under the governments, also concerning the gatherings and in general the general regulations. And we are very grateful to our Lord God that we have the possibilities from this little room here to send you greetings and the word of God into all the world. Also our brothers, Baumgartner, Brother Scherer, Brother Keller, they are extending greetings to you, in particular those overseas, be it in South America or Australia, North America, and of course also in all of Europe. We are happy with all our hearts about it, that God's word is reaching the ends of the earth and has reached. And we are very grateful to our Lord that we recognized the times, the signs of the times. And to this belongs that one reads Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. There the Lord told us everything in advance, what would be and what would come, even of pestilences and famines, earthquakes, catastrophes of all kind. After we had the climate change, the global warming, we experienced it, all of us. We see now that this coronavirus has reached every continent, almost incomprehensible that there can be something like that. There the distances are, the water, all over it is, doesn't matter. All over is the same virus and the same trouble. We have really arrived in a time in which also the unbelievers, have to stop now and have to understand that it is no more as it was, and it will never be anymore as it was. We are living in a time in which Bible prophecies are coming to fulfillment in Israel, in the nations, and in every way. And we are very grateful also for that it is written, the gospel shall be preached unto all nations for a witness, and then the end shall come. So, from Zurich, we send you greetings into all the world. Since almost 50 years, we are at every last Sunday in the month, we were gathered here in Zurich. This time, and perhaps one more time, it will be different. But we just hope that we can come again together to hear God's word. But also for this, we are grateful that all can join online and can listen. We also understood, dear brothers and sisters, that at the first coming of Christ, more than 100 prophecies from the Old Testament came to fulfillment. For instance, yesterday I read the four chapters in the Gospel of Luke. Wonderful and again wonderful how everywhere it was being referred to what was foretold in the Old Testament. But now we have reached the last phase, the last generation before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the midst of it, and the end is really at hand, because our Lord said, when you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. So we are very, very grateful also for that, that we have the last original message, that God has really brought us back into His Word by His love and by His grace. And as Brother Branham always emphasized it, Him God used, of course, in a very special way after the Second World War. using him to bring forth the last healing revival. The Lord God really used him in a unique and wonderful way. But then came the second phase. Not only evangelization and not only healings of the sick and conversions, but then came the introduction, the insight into all of the counsel of God, the opening of the seven seals. And we can thank our Lord with all our hearts for it, that we were acquainted with that, what God ordained for this period of time. And to this belongs the promise which our Lord has given in Matthew 17 and Mark 9. He repeated it. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. As then the prophet Elijah called the people together, and on Mount Carmel the decision had to be made. And behold, he took the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel, and he again rebuilt the altar of God, bringing the sacrifices, pouring water upon it, and then he prayed, Lord, Almighty God, let it be manifested today that you alone are the true God in Israel, and that I am your servant. And behold, the answer came. God answered with fire, and the sacrifice and the altar was consumed in the flames and fire as a visible confirmation that this man acted by the commission of God. In the same way, brothers and sisters, it is in our time. It's really a divine commission which Brother Branham carried out. And to this it belonged that the doctrine of the 12 apostles were newly put upon the lampstand, that everything in the Church of Jesus Christ is scripturally put in order. No strange doctrines, no interpretations, no explanations, but the same gospel of Jesus Christ, which was preached 2,000 years ago by the commission of God. And Paul, he of course could speak out the admonition in Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 upon those who preach another gospel. Dear brothers and sisters, let us get thankful, grateful for that what God has revealed unto us in this time. And let us say it very loudly and clearly to all peoples and to all tongues. We have reached the end of the time of grace. And let me mention this briefly, what Brother Branham also repeatedly emphasized, that since the days of Reformation, a new beginning was made after 1,000 years of the cruelsome ages, the so-called the age of the nations. And dear brothers and sisters, It was named the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages. 1,000 years have passed since the Council in Nicaea. But God made a new beginning. And since the days of Reformation, everything, one after the other, was restored. The justification by the faith in Jesus Christ, in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. And in the next phase, the sanctification by the Word of God, in obedience and in faith to that what God has told us in His Word and what He commanded us. And as the third one, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the restoration of the gifts and ministries of the Spirit in the New Testament Church. So, since the days of Reformation, it went step by step, back and back, closer to that what was practiced and preached in the beginning. In the early church, of course, not only doctrines were preached, but the experience belonged always to it. Not only the faith in justification, but the faith in the justification by the power of the finished work of redemption, which happened by the blood of the Lamb of God. And as our Lord said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So, not only a doctrine, but an experience, a personal experience of salvation, which we can make with our Lord and Savior. The same with the sanctification. And we all know what was preached, how the believers should be, how the husbands should be, how the wives should be. Everything was taught in the church. And therein we are sanctified by doing what the Word of God commands us. Whoever does not practice this cannot be sanctified. So it must happen in obedience of faith. In the same way, with the receiving of the Holy Spirit, with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, with the equipping, with the power from on high. John the Baptist, of course, called it out loudly, "I baptize you with water unto repentance. He who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And then the transmission to the book of Acts in chapter 2, we can read it, what has happened when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, when the New Testament Church in a supernatural way was established. The blood was shed. Calvary took place. Redemption took place. And now the redeemed were endued with a power from on high, and they could carry out the ministry. But now, we have reached the very last period of time. After the last revival, which all call or know as the Pentecostal revival, which then went on into the charismatic revival, slipped into it, has come into it, and nevertheless, all remained in their traditions and doctrines. And I say this with a broken heart. One can go from church to church. Everywhere the Lord's Prayer is being prayed, the confession, the creeds are recited, the scriptures are being read, and nevertheless, all establish their own creeds, their own traditions, their own doctrines. In all the churches and denominations, it remained until this very day. But by the grace of God, we recognized that by the ministry of Brother Branham, a leading out from all the traditions took place, out from everything what is not in conformity with God and His Word. It had to take place, and is still now taking place, that all from all of the that all come out from the Babylonian captivity, coming out of confusion, being pulled out of it, being led out according to the scripture. Ye, my people, be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Then I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. And now, what I have to say now, it really gives me much pain. All who remain in their old doctrines, which are unbiblical, can neither be sanctified, nor can they be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sanctified can only be he who is in the Word of God. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy Word is the truth. So, having respect before God's Holy Word and everything what was left to us in the Holy Scripture, we may believe and we may receive by obedience. And this really happens now in this last period of time, which the Lord lets us experience now. All the others, they remain where they are. They believe what was believed already centuries ago. But he who is now of God does not hear anymore to the religious voices, but listens to the voice of the Word of God. And the Word of God is always in conformity with the will of God. And therefore, we not only pray, thy will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth, but we read the Holy Scripture, and we see therein what the will of God is for us. Let us summarize this part. God has visited us graciously. He lets us recognize the message and the messenger and the time. And this really reminds me on Luke chapter 19. Here we have the two things before us. On one hand, when the disciples were singing songs, Hosanna be unto him who comes in the name of the Lord to the King of Israel. These were the true disciples who recognized at the time what was fulfilled in the Holy Scripture, what God promised through the prophet. It took place, and they were jubilating, they were rejoicing. They took the palms of the trees, were throwing, they were praising and glorifying the Lord. But the scribes came to the Lord, command your disciples that they should be silent. And then the Lord goes to the Mount of Olives, and from Mount of Olives he could see the temple very good, and also Jerusalem. He wept bitterly over Jerusalem. All the scribes, all the rabbis, all were there with the Torah, all were there. But they missed the day of God's gracious visitation and the ministry of John the Baptist. They missed it. Only he who recognized the ministry of John the Baptist, who was sent to the people to prepare a people for the Lord, to prepare a well-prepared people for the Lord. Thus it is written in Luke 1, verse 16 and 17. Whoever believed the ministry of John the Baptist, he was prepared for that, what happened then afterward, what happened in the church on the day of Pentecost and so forth. The same it is now. We are not puffed up. We are not arrogant when we say, whoever now recognizes the ministry which God has sent and ordained for this time will be led to experience the promise for this time by faith. He comes out from everything what is not in conformity with God and His Word. And He's sanctified in the Word of truth and prepared up to the sealing with the Holy Spirit unto the day of our bodily redemption. Now, let me read from 1 Peter chapter 1, a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here the apostle described the finished work of redemption. Not with silver and gold, but by the precious and holy blood of the Lamb of God. We were purchased. We were paid for. The price was paid for. We are God's. And we can say, as our Lord said, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And we will see all who are born again unto a living hope, they can call God their Father. Only Children can call somebody as father. Yeah. And so by grace, we are born again. And we became the children of God. And we can call God our father. In verse 20 we read, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. At the end of the 4,000 years, our Lord and Savior died for us and has given us the redemption by His grace. In verse 21, we read, who by Him do believe in God. Only through Jesus Christ we are coming to the true faith in the living God. Because only in Jesus Christ the eternal living God revealed Himself, making with us the covenant. And in Christ we were reconciled with God. And therefore we preach the redemption which happened through Jesus Christ our Lord. Once again, verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, is directly connected with God. And all the promises which the Lord has given us in Jesus Christ our Lord are coming to fulfillment. In verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Seeing, blessed and praised be our Lord, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the Word of God. And to this belongs the obedience to the truth. Blessed and praised be our Lord. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. The word is the seed, not the interpretations, not the explanations of the people, but the original word of God, as it came forth from the mouth of God. That's how it is the divine seed, which by the preaching of the word is sown into the hearts of men. Also today, it's laid into it. We're not only preaching, we are laying the divine seed of the word by the preaching into your hearts, so that the Holy Spirit can come upon the word which you received to bring forth the new divine life in you, born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Not by an act of a priest, not by something which somebody could do, but it's God's holy word. And the Spirit brings forth the new life in us. Then, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And now it comes. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Hallelujah. The word is the seed, and the word of God abides forever. And as Peter, as the apostle, could say, so I can say it today with all my heart. Humbly, I say it. I repeat what is written here in the last part, at the end of the chapter. I repeat. But, and this is the word, and this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. Let us say it once again. Verse 25. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, the message of salvation, the good news was preached unto you. And as sure as we preach the original gospel, so sure all can experience it who hear it from the mouth, from our mouth. So it was given to us. It can be manifested in our lives by His grace. Faith and obedience belong together. May these words from this epistle of Peter, may it really touch our hearts, especially the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the holy word, which we preach. May the Lord God keep all of you. May He bless you. Once again, coming back to the beginning, that is what is happening now on the earth was never here before, never. All the continents are affected of it, are included. But let us say it, everything is happening now worldwide, especially the proclamation of the last divine message is also worldwide, in all peoples and tongues. It can be heard. And may all who are joining us online, and it's more than 6,000 who all together are joining us now. And we thank the Lord God for it. I repeat myself. Although we are not can come together in this white hall in Zurich, yet, nevertheless, we have the possibility to hear at and in our homes. And we're looking forward for the next Sunday, where we'll be gathered again in Zurich in the white hall. May the Lord God bless all, giving open hearts, open eyes, giving full understanding, and may God's holy word, which we may preach by God's grace, may it not return void, but may it accomplish in all for what it was sent for. The grace and the peace of God be with you all in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Soon. Lift up your heads, for your redemption is near. For your redemption is near. Look at the signs of the times of his return. It's still the time of grace. Forgiveness is still here. God is still near to everyone. The trump shall sound very soon. The trump shall sound very soon. Lift up your heads, for your redemption is near. For your redemption is near. The true children of God, they lift up their heads. The overcomers who believed his word, they expect their redemption. And they are happily waiting for it. After their pilgrimage, the trump shall sound very soon. The trump shall sound very soon. Lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. For your redemption is near.